Let's stand tonight in reverence to the Word of God. Got just the several verses here to read. We'll begin reading in verse, I'll back up in a little bit and read some more, but in verse 29, the last part of the verse, Jesus, He said unto Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. In verse 29, the latter part of the verse, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus answering and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, he came and looked on him and passed by on the other side." I love the little word in the Bible, B-U-T, but it's telling you that it's been this way up to now, but it's fixing to change. And the Word of God said, "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him, and he bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and he set him on his beast, and he brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.' Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He that showed mercy on him." Then said Jesus unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." You can be seated tonight. Let's pray together. And I want to bring a message entitled, "Like a Good Neighbor." Like a Good Neighbor. Father in heaven, I thank you tonight for the privilege to read the Word of God. And thank you, Lord, tonight for the privilege to have the Word of God to speak to our hearts. And God, I thank you tonight for the good singing, both the choir and the trio. Lord, I'm glad that, Lord, you stir my heart when I hear songs that magnify you, magnify your grace. Magnify that day, Lord, that you picked me up out of a horrible pit, placed my feet upon a rock, established my goings. Thank you, Lord, for putting a new song in my heart, even praise unto our God. Now, God, tonight, if you would you help me for just a little while? Lord, I pray tonight that you'd stir us up, blessing the revival meeting across the hill there at Lewis Lane. The camp meeting that's going on, Lord, last week and this week down in Taylorsville. Would you bless every man of God that stands to preach? Would you stir your people up? God, it doesn't matter to me where. But Lord, as our brother prayed a while ago, please, God, let a revival break out somewhere. Let it spread through our land. We need help, Lord. God, I pray tonight you'd help us in Jesus' precious name. All of God's youngins said, amen. Let me back up here just a minute and read from verse 25. The Bible said a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said unto him, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" And he answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." And they say, that's a full-time job right there. Amen. You know what I believe I can do on any given day? I believe I can get to the end of the day and say I failed in that area, right? Say amen. Amen. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. I like that. You know, Jesus told us men to love our wives as Christ loved the church. You talk about a tall order, amen. The Bible then said here, he said, "Then love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind." and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do and thou shalt live. But he willing to justify himself. That's where this question comes from. He says, Jesus, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? I want to preach to you for a little while tonight out of this text and use the phrase, like a good neighbor. Everybody knows that's a slogan for State Farm. Well, let me ask you a question. Wouldn't it be a shame if State Farm was a better neighbor than the saints of God are? Say amen right there. The Bible talks about here some things that would help you and I believe, to realize who our neighbor is, and not only to realize who they are, but to be a good neighbor to them along life's way. As there's some things here, if we look at the Scripture, I just want to kind of give you the little outline that the Lord gave me, and think about it for just a little while tonight. We see several things here. The first thing I see in the story, I see the condition of the sinner. He's stripped, he's wounded, and he's half dead. You realize that before God, the sinner is naked, and the sinner is dead in trespasses and sin. I believe here the Bible is typifying this, and the Bible said here that he fell among thieves. The thief cometh not but for to kill and to steal and to destroy. Amen. And I believe the sinner is in the clutches of a devil, say amen, and in the clutches of sin, and just like you and I were. And the only way he's ever going to be set free, amen, is to hear about the one who can set him free, and to hear about the one who wants to, my friend, take him out of a state of deadness and make him very much alive in the presence of God. Think about this tonight. You see the condition of the sinner. The Bible said here that he fell among thieves. It reminded me of a little story I heard years ago about a man, an older man, that was trying to teach a younger man something. An older man was sitting on the front porch, and a young man went by going down the road, and he said, son, where are you going? He said, I'm going to buy a horse, mister. And the older man said to him, said, son, you shouldn't say that. What you ought to say is, the Lord willing, I'm going to buy a horse. And so this young man, he looked up at the older man and he said, I don't have to say the Lord willing. He said, I got the money, the man's got the horse, and I'm going to buy a horse. He went on around the bend in the road and he got jumped by a bunch of thugs, amen, and they beat him up and they stole his money. Tore his clothes half off of him, amen. About an hour later, he come back by, and that old man sitting up on the porch said, son, where are you going? He said, Lord willing, I'm going to the house, amen. I want you to know, amen, here's a man that started out one day, but it was a very dangerous passage from Jericho to Jerusalem. I've been on that road, and there's all kinds of cliffs in the rocks where the thieves would hide out, and they would come out in bands many times and rob people and beat people. Amen. Be kind of like living in New York City today. Say amen. I'm telling you, you don't know what's coming out where. Amen. But the Bible teaches us here, he's a good type of the sinner. We see the condition of the sinner. But the second thing I want you to see in the message is the coldness of the system. You say, preacher, what kind of system are you talking about? I'm talking about the religious system. Let me tell you something right now. Religion had never done anything for sinners. Amen. And here they're cold. You have the Levite and the priest. They see the man. They see the man's need. They have an opportunity to do something about the need, but they go down the other side. You know what I'm afraid? I'm afraid in the year 2013, if we're not careful, amen, rather than get involved the way God wants us to get involved, we'd rather go down the other side. I want you to know every way we look. I've been out before. I've been with preachers that have told me this. You just can't find anybody that's lost anymore. I tell you, I look every one of them in their God-given eyeballs and ask them, where you been looking? There's lost people everywhere I go. And people that are willing to admit that they're lost, amen, and in need of a Savior. Where we been looking? Maybe we've been looking in the wrong place. Amen. But there's sinners out there, stripped and wounded. The devil's got a hold of them. Amen. He's trying to kill them and drag them down to hell. But we see the coldness of the system. They had an opportunity, but they feel no obligation. Listen to me, church, tonight. The only way this church will ever be what God wants this church to be is for you and I to realize we have an opportunity, but let's go a step further. We have an obligation to this world around us to be a light in this dark place we live in. We have an obligation. You say, preacher, what do you mean? How about this? I'm not my own, Brother Tim. I've been bought with a price. I don't belong to myself. I belong to Him. Oh, you say, that's you, preacher. No, that's every born again child of God in this building tonight. We belong to Him that loved us and gave Himself for us. You see, Brother Ralph, you stood over there a while ago so wonderfully. The trio, that song, I will forever lift my eyes to Calvary. You know what Paul said? He said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. We're not our own. Amen. If I could figure this out, I believe that the only reason God saved me was to take me to heaven. I believe He might have took me the day He saved me. But He left me here. Amen. Let me just go ahead and throw this in free of charge. You want to know why there's a doctrine that's gaining and gaining and gaining strength among people in America that say that they're saved by the grace of God? The doctrine of hyper-Calvinism. I'll tell you why. It relieves us of our responsibility. It relieves us of our obligation to be alive and to give out the Word of God and to be what God wants us to be. I'm telling you, the Apostle Paul was told, he told us over there, he said, then, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. How many are new creatures tonight? Amen. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. And he said, my friend, listen, he's committed unto us, not me, but us, the word of reconciliation. He's committed unto us the ministry of, my friend, reconciliation. He said, now then, we are ambassadors of Christ. If Paul wanted to say the preacher, he could have said I. But Paul didn't say I. He said we. He said us. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be in that crowd. Amen. I'm glad I had the privilege to lead somebody to Christ even before I saved. My friend, by the grace of God, I was out there telling people about Jesus because I believed it was right. Amen. And then I had the privilege, even before I was called to preach, to point sinners to Christ. Amen. The gospel works. Amen. We see the condition of the sinner. We see the coldness of the religious system. How many's ever walked in a church and you felt like you walked in a funeral home? Or you felt like you walked in a locker room? Amen. Where there ought to be some meat hanging somewhere. I tell you, thank God a lady left here last Sunday and she said, preacher, I felt the love of God when I walked in the door. I say, keep it up, church. Keep it up. Amen. It ought to be warm. It ought to be warm and it ought to be lovely in the house of God. Amen. People ought to be welcome. They had an obligation. My friend, they had an opportunity, but they felt no obligation. They saw the need, but they did not feel the need. Sounds like over there in the book of James, when you see somebody hungry, destitute of clothing, you just look at them and say, be you warmed and filled. God help us. Amen. That ain't going to get the job done. The Bible said, not love, not in word and in tongue, but in deed and in truth. It's easy to stand and tell somebody you love them. But I tell you, we need it in shoe leather. Amen. The priest and the Levite did not have the love of God in shoe leather because they did not have the love of God in their heart. But when we have it in our heart, it needs to be put to work.
It needs to be put to action. Amen. Look here, like a good neighbor. Let's get on with it. The Bible's talking about the condition of the sinner. It's talking about the coldness of the system, of the religious system. But then I see this right here. I see the compassion of the saints. Let's look here with you. Let me show you something tonight. If you don't get anything else, I want you to get these two phrases tonight. The first phrase I'm going to give you is by chance. Look at it here with me in verse number 31. Here's how the religious system is operating, by chance. The Bible said, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Well, wouldn't it be something to think about that? Look, there he is. 5 years ago, my wife, she drove up on the wreck. A lady called her on my cell phone, and I had a bad wreck. This lady saw the motorcycle up on the side of the bank. She said, that don't look right. Brother Danny, I thank God that she stopped. She didn't just say, that don't look right. Let me stay over here. Amen. She stopped. She looked around, and down there in the ditch in the tall weeds, I was laying passed out, knocked out. I didn't remember anything about all that. Amen. But I'm telling you, I thank God that she stopped. When I came to, she said, the rescue squad's on the way. Anybody I can call. I said, push 5, you'll get my wife. She lives right out here at the end of the road. And about that time I heard, beep, beep, beep. The rescue squad was backing up. Amen. You say, were you glad to see them? Not really. I was glad to see my wife. I thought I was going home. The rescue squad said, we need to load you up, take you to the hospital, get you checked out. My back broke in 4 different places. I looked at him. I said, no, that won't be necessary. My wife's going to take me home. My wife went, I ain't taking you nowhere. Started backing up like that right there. I said, boys, if you don't care, take me on down there at the hospital. Amen. Get me checked. I knew I couldn't walk home. Amen. She wasn't going to take me. Amen. You say, preacher, what to say? Thank God she cared enough to stop. And cared enough to stay. Stayed right with me till help got there. Amen. Listen to me, church. Sometimes we're running through life too fast. And we really do care. But we need to care enough to stop. Every once in a while, it might require us to stay a little while. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Look here with me. The Bible said by chance. You know that's how a lot of people are living their life? By chance. Well, I have a chance to do something for God. I'm going to tell you something right now. There's no way Brother Grizzle takes care of our mission. Brother Grizzle, there's no way we could support the missionaries we do if the people in this church just give by chance. They don't give by chance. They give on purpose. They give by choice. The Levite and the priest are given by chance. But the Bible said a certain Samaritan, watch these words, as he journeyed. He's going somewhere. Well, glory to God, the last time I checked, God's open somewhere. Amen. We hadn't ought to be just living our life by chance. We ought to be living our life by choice. We ought to get up in the morning and pray because we chose to. And read our Bible because we choose to. And tell somebody about Jesus because we choose to. And give our tithes and offerings because we choose to. Amen. A lot of God's people give God leftovers. Say amen right there. I don't believe that's going on around here, but if it is, that was just for you. We're not supposed to give God leftovers. We're supposed to give Him first fruits. Say amen right there. You say, preacher, that's hard preaching. No, that ain't hard preaching. That's Bible preaching. Amen. God help us if we're just giving the Savior of the world whatever we got left over. Amen. God help us. Somebody said, boy, if I could win the lottery, I'd tithe. I doubt it. Because I just believe saved people ain't got no business playing the lottery. I was in a little store the other day. I won't say who the preacher was, but a preacher was scratching. Say amen. And he wasn't scratching behind his ear. He looked up and he saw me and, hey brother. I would too. I'd be ashamed too. God help us. Oh, you say, preacher, ain't nothing wrong with the lottery. Then let's get in there and have a card game in the fellowship hall after a while. It'll be a cold day where the booger man lives before you find this preacher in there playing cards or out there buying them tickets, either one. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with the story? I'm going to tell you something. We can't live by choice without choosing to do right. We got to choose to do right. Brother Grizzle said this morning when he was teaching, he said, you don't go out here and get the world to do God's work. And that's the truth. The world has gotten so churchy and the church has gotten so worldly, you can't hardly tell the difference sometimes. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. I've been in churches where if somebody was standing outside them doors back there when the music was going on, you couldn't have told if it was a rock concert or a church service. God's not in that. I'm telling you, there ought to be a sound, say amen, that we know is coming from heaven. Amen. The Bible's talking about here people that are not just living their life by chance. You're not, listen, wouldn't it be something if the only time, Brother Fred, you ever went to church is by chance? No, you don't get up on Sunday morning and say, well, I think I'll just pray about whether. Now, Brother Fred, I know sometimes you don't feel good. But if you're able, brother, you're going. I'm going to say it like this. You're here when you ain't able to be here. Yeah. Why? Because it's not left up to chance. It's a choice that He made a long time ago. God, as long as I'm able, I'm going to be faithful to the house of God. Amen. As long as I'm able, I'm going to be faithful. This Samaritan, but a certain Samaritan as he journeyed. How many's going somewhere? Hey, you see, if you're saved, you're going somewhere. Why would a saved person want to live their life by chance? Well, live it by choice. As he journeyed. Now watch this. Hey, by the way, let me give you this. All three of these men saw the same thing. All three of them saw the same need. Amen. But one of them, like a good neighbor, he did something about it. He did something about it. I don't know about you, but I want to be like a good neighbor. Think about this for just a minute. We see the compassion of the saints. Watch this. Watch the compassion in this man's life. He came where he was. You see, I've been preaching for years that God never told Brother Gary the sinners to go where the church was, but God told the church to go where sinners are. In the highways and in the byways, and compel them to come in. The Bible said here, He came where He was. He looked on Him. Yes, He did. He saw Him. And He had compassion on Him. And He went to Him. And He bound up His wounds, pouring in oil and wine. He set Him upon His own beast. Watch this. He preferred this man before Himself. Instead of Him riding, He put this man up on His beast. That leaves Him walking to the end. Say amen. He's a picture of a saint of God that's full of the Holy Ghost and full of the love of God that's shed abroad in his heart by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. The Bible said He saw Him. He went to Him. He had compassion on Him. He bound up His wounds. He poured oil in. He set Him on His beast. He brought Him to an end. And He took care of Him. He even stayed with Him a while at the end and took care of Him. I don't know about you, but I believe, not you, the word I'm going to use is not you. I believe we can all do better. There's a lot of people in the ditch. Somebody say amen right there. And I believe we could all do better about being a good neighbor. I've often said, why do we have to wait on somebody to die to bake them a cake? Why don't we find somebody in the ditch and bake them a cake? Bake them a pie. Unless they're a diabetic, and if they are, make sure it's sugar-free. Amen? You know what I mean. Kindness, love, compassion, a visit, a phone call. I've made phone calls since I've been the pastor of this church. Listen to me carefully. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm trying to get you to see the need and understand the need. Listen to me, preachers. I've had people tell me, ain't no preacher ever called me. Yeah. Well, what in the world is going on if we don't care for one another? That's no reflection on this church in the days gone. That's not what I'm trying to say. These are people that have visited our church since I've been here that are 60 years old and ain't nobody ever called them. Well, let me tell you something. How many of you all, when you have a need, glad for somebody to pick the phone up and call? Glad for somebody to help you carry your burden, your prayer request? Glad for somebody to call you and say, how'd that test go? Amen. Here, we're talking about care for sinners. My friend, I believe if we're not careful, we'll go on the other side. Instead of being a good neighbor, go over here where the need is. Stay a while. Put him up on your knees. Take him to the inn. Pour some wine in. Pour some oil in. A type of the Holy Ghost. Exhort one another. Listen tonight, by chance, I don't want to live that way. I want to live by choice. Amen. I want to live by choice. I want to live by choice. Not by chance. I'm not going to read my Bible much if I read it by chance. I'm not going to tithe if I tithe by chance. I'm not going to give to missions if I give by chance. I'm not going to be faithful to this congregation. My faithfulness is by chance. It's by choice. Let me give you something right now. This will help you. It helps me. Jesus didn't go to Calvary, Brother Ralph, by chance. He went by choice. He chose to go there. So the least you and I could do would be to choose to follow Him. I have decided to follow Jesus. Amen. Think about this for just a few minutes tonight. The compassion and the compassion of the saints. Listen to this just a minute. Years ago, I'm trying to wind down here just a minute. Years ago, Charity, I don't know how old you were, honey. I don't think you was about maybe 13 years old, 14 at the most at this time. I was still going to Missouri, so it was early in my Rock of Ages days, the first 2 years of ministry with the Rock of Ages. Brother David, my daughter and I were going to watch our high school team. Our high school boys were playing ball in Knoxville. On a Saturday, there was a championship game down at Powell, Tennessee. My daughter and I are riding down the interstate, and I made this statement, Brother Tim, to my daughter, Charity. I said, Charity, I said, it sure is a long way to Missouri. I said, but I'm looking forward to getting out there and seeing those men. Brother Anthony, I was leaving on Sunday for Missouri. And as we were going down the interstate, I realized I'll be right on this same road again tomorrow. I'm going all the way to Farmington, Missouri. I said to Charity, Charity, I'm looking forward to seeing those men. I said, sure is a long way to Missouri. Listen to what a girl, 13 or 14 years old, said to her daddy. She said, Daddy, Jesus would walk to Missouri to see those men. In my spirit, Brother Eddie, I was kind of dreading a 10 and a half hour drive. And my daughter said, Daddy, Jesus would walk to Missouri. Well, let me ask you something. How many believe that's the truth? First thing that come to my mind is He came a lot further than to Missouri for us. Say amen. He come from heaven to earth to give His life for us. I got out there to Missouri. I couldn't think of anything else, just Daddy Jesus would walk to Missouri. I kept my decision card. The men that trusted Christ last time I looked, you still had it. Do you still have it? There was a man out there, Brother David. He takes trash bags. They don't have much to work with in prison. He took a trash bag, Brother Fred, and he'd pull that plastic out real thin. He'd just pull it out right before it breaks. He'd stop. He'd stretch it out. And he braided a cross together and braided the necklace together. He said, "Preacher, I ain't got much, but could I give this to you? I want you to have this." Last time I checked, my daughter still got that hanging up in her room. I carried it back to Sagoinsville, Tennessee. I said, "Honey, looky here. You're right. Jesus would walk to Missouri to see those men." Yeah. Here's what I want to say. If Jesus would walk to Missouri, don't you reckon I better go down right over here instead of going down the other side when there's a need? Amen. Church, I'm not fussing at us tonight. But if every one of us will be honest in our heart, we can do a better job than we're doing. That person at the Walmart that checks us out, they're either saved or lost. When's the last time you asked one of them? That person that waits on your table? My. If you're one of these that goes out here and eats on Sunday, any person working in a restaurant will tell you the crowd they dread to see coming is that church crowd. Never, never let that be said of Bible Way Baptist Church. Let's make sure we give a little extra in the tip. Let's make sure we show a little extra kindness to that person. Say amen. I don't want to be numbered with that crowd. Amen. Let's make sure we've got a gospel track that we can give to somebody. And say, "Honey, could I give you something to read in your spare time?" As far as I can remember, in 26 years, I've never said that to an individual and had them to say, "No, I'm not going to read it." Or, "No, I'm not going to take it." Let me tell you something. I was in Mexico years ago. There's probably 10 or 12 tracts right there. And I'm going to pick these up, brother. This is an illustration. I'm going to pick them up. Brother Wayne might help me after church. I'm going to pick them up. But Brother Mike, you could be going down the road in a van. I'm talking about on the way. You're in Mexico. There's people standing on the street corner. There's people on the sidewalk. And you could take that many gospel tracts and throw them out like that, and most of them wouldn't hit the ground. People would catch them before they even hit the ground. You say, "Preacher, what are you trying to say?" I'm trying to say this man had compassion. Let's make sure we've got compassion. Amen? When we're dealing with people out there in the restaurant, out there in the Walmart, out there at Lowe's, let's make sure, amen, let's make sure that we don't go down the other side. Because they might be having a real bad day. They might be stripped. They might be wounded. They might be completely dead in trespasses and sin. Dr. Hiles used to go off his radio broadcast, and here's what he'd say. And remember, be good to everybody, because everybody's having a tough time. God's people, we ought to just be good to everybody. There's a whole lot of people out there having a tough time. Say amen. You say, "Preacher, what else do you see here? Like a good neighbor." How many's already made up your mind? By choice, I want to be a good neighbor. I want to be a good neighbor. Who is my neighbor? Well, it sure ain't the priest. And it sure ain't the Levite. That Samaritan was a neighbor to this man that had a need. Now watch this. And I'm done. Not only do we see the condition of the sinner, the coldness of the system, the compassion of the saints, but we see the commission of the Savior. Let me give you something. You remember where we started? Love the Lord thy God. Brother Mike, this is important. Real important. There's a danger. There's a danger of being like the Levite and the priest, going down the other side when you see the need. But here's another danger. Listen to me carefully. Now, be Baptist right here will say amen. Here's another danger. Brother Jeff, that's this. We're trying to fulfill the Great Commission without obeying the Great Commandment. You see, the greatest of all the commandments is love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your... See, what happens if you're not loving God, Brother Sam? What happens? It becomes mechanical. Robotic. How many knows I'm telling it right? Say amen. You just give them a track because that's what Christians are supposed to do. Not because you've been in the closet that morning with Jesus and you're walking so close to Him as you go through the day that Jesus can whisper and say, this lady needs to be encouraged. This man needs to be encouraged. How many knows it's right? Amen. Like a good neighbor. Like a good neighbor. Brother Wayne, I had a lady call me when I was pastoring in Wise, Virginia. She called me. I said, Hurricane Baptist Church. And this lady said, oh, she said, I'm so sorry. I've got the wrong number. He said, preacher, what's she trying to tell us? I'm trying to tell you that on that particular day, I was walking, Brother Kyle, with Jesus. Me and Him just had a wonderful day. I started with Him. I continued with Him. And that evening when that woman called, I said, well, wait just a minute before you go. I said, what's your name? And she told me. I said, my name's Rick Vinoy. I'm the pastor here at the Hurricane Baptist Church. I said, if you wouldn't mind, let me ask you this question. I said, where do you go to church? And she said, well, I don't go much, preacher. I said, well, really, that wasn't what I was really interested in anyway. Let me ask you what I'm really interested in. I said, honey, if you died tonight, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? She said, oh, no. I said, well, would you like to know? Do you believe a person can get saved over AT&T? She believes it. Amen. I told her about Jesus over the telephone. Explained the gospel to her. And you know what? When she got done, she didn't think it was the wrong number after all. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, what are you trying? Are you bragging? No, I'm telling you right now. I'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ and there'll be time after time after time that I missed it because I was not walking with Him the way I ought to walk with Him. But thank God there's a few times. Amen. Left going to Mexico that time. I said, got down on my knees. I said, God, I don't know why I'm going down there. I said, I don't speak a lick of Spanish. And God just whispered, said, well, there might be somebody on the way. I said, yeah, they might be, Lord. We drove to Knoxville, flew out of Knoxville to Atlanta. And there was a lady 27 years old at 14,000 feet between Atlanta and San Antonio said yes to the Master. Makeup running everywhere. All that stuff never looks so good as when it's running under Holy Ghost conviction. Amen. I mean, it was going everywhere. Snot going everywhere. She can tell you the time, but she can't take you to the place. But she got born again up there in the air. Amen. Got to the airport, Brother Joe. Got to the airport and we was waiting on her luggage. And her name was Jessica and I missed her for a while. And here she come with another lady and she had her daughter with her. Her daughter was meaner than she's the meanest brat I ever run into on an airplane. I'll tell you like that. Amen. She was mean. She needed the Board of Education applied to the seat of learning. And if she'd have been mine, she'd have got it. Amen. Here she come in the airport. And Jessica said, this is my aunt. Well, guess what? Aunt and Granny have been praying for Jessica for years. I said, Jessica, did you tell your aunt What happened on the plane? She said, not yet, preacher. Her aunt said, what happened? What happened? She looked at her and said, I got saved. I'm telling you, her aunt come unglued in the airport. She went to rejoicing. And she said, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? I said, because she was afraid you'd come unglued. Right here in front of God and everybody. Amen. What are you trying to say, preacher? How many believes God wants the preacher to be a good neighbor? How many believes that Bible Way Baptist Church, it goes further than the preacher? Every one of us ought to be a good neighbor. You say, preacher, what about the commission of the Savior? What did it say down there in that verse? I don't know where it is, about verse 37. What did it say? He said, who then was neighbor? And he said, the one that showed mercy, remember? And then he said, go thou. Brother Merv, go thou and do likewise. I didn't say that. You say, that preacher ain't going to tell me what to do. You don't obey that. You're not disobeying the preacher. You're disobeying Jesus. Say amen right there. Jesus said, go thou. Now let me ask you something. Chase, would he tell us to do something that we wasn't able to do? We can do it, can't we? Kyle, would he tell us to do something we're not able to do? We can do it, can't we? You know what I pray? I pray we walk out of this church tonight by the grace of God. We're looking for opportunities. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday to be a good neighbor. Looking for an opportunity. I was at the hospital the other day. God put something on my heart. I got so much on my heart, I don't know how I'm going to get it all off my heart. I'm just going to have to take it an item at a time. I got to look at Brother Tim at them waiting rooms where them people are crying their eyeballs out while their family are dying many times. Amen? And I got to thinking about there needs to be a gospel tract laying on the table. I think the title of it, Brother Fred, is going to be No More Tears. I tell you, I want to write a piece of paper and let them open it up and explain to them that over there in the book of Revelation, there's a day coming when there's no more sickness, no more death, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears. Hallelujah! I want to be a blessing to them. But then, Brother Houston, I want to tell them that ain't for everybody. That's just for the ones that say yes to the Master. That's just for the ones who die in the Lord. And then I'll probably take a page or so and tell them how they can get ready for that day in their life. Amen. You say, preacher, you've lost your mind. Well, please don't help me find it. I'm having so much wonderful blessings, glory to God, with my mind lost. Just don't let me find it. Amen. A man at the Salvation Army, Brother Earl, standing there giving his testimony. A heckler in the back of the crowd, Brother Allen, said, shut up, old man! Shut up! You're dreaming, old man! You're dreaming! He's telling about how God saved him by the grace of God. About that time, a little boy pulled on his coattail. He said, mister, he said, that man up there is my daddy. He said, you see that woman over there, mister? He said, yeah, I see her, son. He said, you see how happy she is? He said, yeah, I see, son. He said, that's my mama. He said, my daddy used to come home drunk. He used to beat my mama. I would run and hide. He said, please, mister, please. If my daddy's dreaming, please don't wake him up. That's what the world thinks about us tonight, Brother Jeff. We're just dreaming about a place where there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more sickness, no more death. I thank God for a place where there's no Wilcox Hall. I thank God for a place where there's no East Lawn Cemetery. I thank God for a place where there's no assisted living and no nursing home. Say amen tonight. I thank God for a place where there's no misunderstanding. I just thank God for a place called heaven. I call it home. Yeah.
That's my real home. It's up there on high. Well, glory to God. Will y'all pray for me? I want to be a good neighbor. I want to be a good pastor. But Brother Ralph, I personally believe I can't be a good pastor if I'm not a good neighbor. You see, because God, Brother Earl, His love is no respecter of person. God can't just let me love my flock and let the rest of the world go to hell. My grandfather said it like this. He said, I believe when you love Jesus, you love everybody. How many please that? Amen. That's how you can love your enemy. That's how you can pray for them that despitefully use you. Because you love Jesus. Well, we got one up on State Farm, ain't we? Like a good neighbor. I pray it gets out in Bloomingdale. This whole area. Like a good neighbor, Bible ways there. Brother Gary, I thought about them rooms hanging back there full of clothes. Thank God they're full of clothes. But if I live till this fall, they won't be full of clothes. We're not going to have no yard sale. But I tell you what, if God will help me and some of y'all will help me, we're going to spread that stuff out on tables out here. We're going to give it away. Amen. Somebody needs it. Somebody don't even know it's back there. If we're going to be a good neighbor, we're going to let them know we got it. Amen? And there'll be that much more come when we get ready to do it. Somebody say amen right there. Get it out. Who was it the other night? I can't remember who it was. I mean, no disrespect, but one of our ladies said to me, she said, Preacher, they have that food pantry down there. You remember Brother Chris, who it was, told me that. I tell you who it was. It was Brooke. I believe it was Brooke. She said that they've got that food pantry down there. She said, we've taken bags down there before with soap and shampoo and stuff like that in it. She said, what do you think? I said, I think it's wonderful. I think it's wonderful. Let's put a gospel track in there and tell them how to get the inside clean too while we're at it. Amen. I think it's wonderful. I'm not about a social gospel. Did you hear me? But I'm about helping our neighbors. And I believe we can help them and show the love of God to them. I believe this place will be full and overrunning before long. Not just with people. How'd you like to see this place oozing the love of God? Like a good neighbor. What time is it? You know the blessed thing about that clock back there? They put one of them lights right in front of it and I can't see it. How many's glad y'all come? How many's glad you stayed? If you're lost tonight, see me after church. I'd love to take my Bible and show you how you can know Jesus. But I believe tonight God said what He's wanting to say here tonight. Let's go out of here, Brother David. I've got me a street. I can't even remember the name of it right now. I drive across it every time I come over here. What's the name of my street, Brother Wayne? Turn right and go across the Wadlow Gap. What's my street up there, brother? Chadwell. Thank you, Brother Wayne. Amen. Amen. You see, we got this ESP going on. Amen. He began to think it and I said it. Amen. That Chadwell's my street. I drive across it every time I come to church. Praying for them folk. I ain't knocked on all them doors yet, but I will. The Lord Jesus lets me live, I will. Amen. You know what I'm praying? I'm praying God's just going to raise up man after man after man in this church, and I want me a street. I want me a street. Me and my wife wants a street. Amen. And we're going to be responsible for it. We're going to be a neighbor to those folks on that street. Say amen. I say this. People may die and go to hell without ever loving. But our job is to see to it that they don't die and go to hell without being loved. Let's love them. Amen.